guess somebody told on me last week, and now they made me come back here in the pulpit. So, we're going to work on getting some wireless mics or whatever and getting them working so I can be down there with you. Let's again continue on with our study in the Colossian letter. We're going to try to complete chapter 2 and go into chapter 3, if this is the Lord's will. Now, before we get into what we're going to discuss tonight, I want to rehash what we discussed last week. We covered quite a bit, actually, from verse 13, Colossians chapter 2, through verse number 17. We started off with verse number 13. Paul is again talking about circumcision. He's talking about the spiritual circumcision, what happens in baptism. And we talked about being dead in our sins. And I gave the analogy of the walking dead or zombies, because we have so many people in the world today that are spiritually dead. Though they are physically living and physically walking around, they are spiritually dead. So we talked about that, and we went on and talked about how Christ in verse number 14 was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, and we discussed what those ordinances was. What was the purpose of the law of Moses? Why did God had Moses write down these laws? What was the purpose, and how does it play in our lives as Christians? We covered that. In that the fact that Christ, when he was crucified, was nailed to the cross, and Paul gives the illustration also, right? Those ordinances of the law was also nailed to the cross. And we discussed that, you know, a lot of times I think we kind of skim past that. But when it comes to things being nailed to the cross in the Old Testament, is very, very applies. Even when it applied to them almost 2000 years ago, it definitely applies to us today, you know, because we have so many religious organizations that try to reach back and take those things from the Old Testament, things from the law, and try to apply it to New Testament Christianity. And this was what was going on back in when Paul was writing this letter. We went on in verse number 15. We talked about how Christ would talks about having the spoil principalities and power. Basically, we gave an illustration of a general. Right. A victorious general, when a general will come and conquer an army, he strips him. Right. He strips them of their weaponry and things of that nature. And a lot of times, especially in Roman times, I don't know if you ever seen some of the ancient Roman movies. What they would do is that when they were victorious, they would march the slaves or the prisoners right back into Rome. And it'd be a big, huge parade, and the general would be on his horse, and the captives would be behind him, right? And what Paul is saying here is that Christ is doing the same thing, is that he's making an open shame of them, right? Is that he's conquered them, right? He's conquered death, right? So he's making an open shame of them, and he's stripped them of their weapons. And so why, you know, and that goes off. We go into verse number 16. He's saying, therefore, why are you letting these people judge you when you're eating meat and drinks and Sabbath day and holy day? Christ has already done the work for you. He nailed the old ordinances to the cross, right? He's been victorious. He's making an open shame of them. Why are you letting these people, right, influence you and tell you that you have to obey some of these ordinances that were going on? And then we went on into verse number 17. We talked about what a shadow was, and that, you know, we see that illustration all the time. And Paul talks about it in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 1 through 4, how the sacrifices and the covenant of the Old Testament was a shadow, right? It was a shadow of the actual thing to come. Right. And I gave you an illustration. Everybody is very familiar what a shadow is. A shadow is not the actual real image. Right. The real image is coming, but the shadow is there first. So we talked about these things, and we're trying to close up this chapter. But Paul Had some interesting comments starting at verse number 18. If Brother Obed, if you can read for me verses 18 and 19.
Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, entering into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God.
So Paul starts off in verse number 18, right? And he says, let no man beguile you. I think Brother Obed Bible says cheat. It kind of goes in the same family. Defraud, rob you of your reward. What Paul is saying is that if you are allowing, right, if you're allowing people to bring in these thoughts of keeping ordinances and things of the law, if you are allowing these things, especially after Christ has died on the cross and have already nailed them to the cross, right? If you're going to allow them to do that, they are cheating you or robbing you of your salvation. That's what Paul is saying there, right? Is that they're cheating you and robbing you of your salvation. If you're allowing this false doctrine to creep in, again, this is Paul's whole aim of this of this letter. His whole aim of this letter is aimed at trying to get the church at Colossae to root out the false doctrine that was trying to permeate the congregation. Again, we talked about that you know, one of the main things that were going on, yes, it was the Jewish religious things that was trying to permeate the church. Also, you had Gnosticism that was trying to permeate the church. You also had a whole bunch of pagan beliefs that was trying to permeate the congregation there. So they just had a superstorm, right? They had a superstorm of false doctrine going on, and Paul is trying to tackle this, and he's trying to break it down bit by bit, and he's telling them, hey, you know, that you know, if you are allowing these type of things to influence you and get into the doctrine of Christ, then you are being robbed of your salvation. And it's the same thing today. It's the same thing today. We have so many people that are being robbed of their salvation. Why? Because they're following false doctrine. They're following things that either, first of all, not in the Bible, or following things from the Old Testament that people have brought in and mix it in with Christianity. Again, this letter, it applies to us today. You know, when I started studying this letter, I was just amazed at how much it applies to what goes on today. I mean, it seriously does. It applies to what goes on today. And listen to what else Paul says here in verse number 18. It says, in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. When it talks about voluntary humility, right, what Paul is talking about is a false humility. That's what Paul is getting at, that these people come at you like they're being humble, right, but they're really not. You know, one of the things that when we talk about false humility is that self-righteousness is a sign of false humility. And so a good example of false humility, let's go with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, because the Pharisees were good at this, right? That's one thing they were good at, right, was self-righteousness and false humility. And false humility is, again, a form of self-righteousness. You know, it reminds me, before we, Brother Obed, before you read this text, is that another form of false humility is somebody that's doing something, not only they're not doing it for the right purpose, they're doing it for show, right? They're doing it for show so everybody can see what they're doing. Everybody can see them being humble, right? But are they really being humble? No, they're being self-righteous. It's not really about being humble, it's about them, right? They're trying to lift themselves up or make people see them doing things. It reminds me of, I think every April of every year, the Pope, right? The Pope, one of the things that the Pope does is that the Pope, either he goes to a prison or a refugee camp, or he goes somewhere and he washes somebody's feet. That's what he does, right? That's what he does, right? All the cameras around and pictures are taken and all of this. False humility. That's what it is. False humility. Again, doing things to be seen. And again, the Pharisees, I mean, they seem like they cornered the market on this, right? Because that's constantly what they did. They prayed out in public and did all kind of things and wore fancy garments, right? Just to be seen. And mind you, we have members of the Lord's church that's the same way. We have brethren that are the same way. And it's a shame that we have brethren who are part of the church who display this false humility, right? That display this false humility. Brother Obey, do we have, was it Luke chapter 19, verses 9 through, let me see, hold on a second. I'm sorry. Yeah, Luke chapter 19, verses 9 through, hold on a second. I think I might have got a loss here. You know what? Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talks about people that have this false humility. Matthew chapter 6, in verses 1 through 8. Brother Obed, when you get that, can you read that for me, please?
Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. When you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him.
Clear example of false humility, right? Of false humility, doing things just to be seen, right? They would come at you like they're humble, but the whole objective is pride. You know, it's amazing, you know, and don't get me wrong, is that's something that, you know, we tend to do that as people too, is that we tend to have a false humility. Right. You know, for example, you know, just an example, if, you know, especially us men, right, we know we have our fancy toys, our cars and you know, and maybe a house or things of that nature. And somebody may compliment you, you know, on your house or your car. And, you know, your reply, right, is not thank you. Your reply typically is, well, that old thing. Right. Right. Think about that. Or women, right? Women, you know, when you know, another woman compliments a woman, wow, you look nice today, so, you know. Really? You know, I don't think so. You know, that kind of thing. False humility. False humility, all right? So we do it all the time. But when it comes to what was going on here in Colossae, right, is that they were using it, right, trying to draw people in. And again, we see this all the time in the religious world. They out there doing all kind of different things, right? They're out there, you see them on TV, you see them everywhere, all across the world, doing all these type of things. False humility, right? False humility. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Because with that false humility, they bring in, or they try to bring in, worshiping of angels. Worshiping of angels. Can anybody tell me, you know, what is an angel? Who said that? Who said messenger first? Go ahead, sister. That's all right. That's right. That's what. They were messengers, right? They were messengers of God. And we can see all throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament how they take different forms. They look different. Some look like humans. Some actually, you know, scared the person that they were actually, you know, approaching, right? We see that some brought death, right? You know, and some brought good news. Some brought bad news. But they were messengers. We know that one thing about angels as well is that the angel only get one chance. That's it. If there's sin, that's it. They're done. Right? So when it comes to worshiping angels, my point is that why would we worship angels? Why would we worship angels? You may ask, where in the scripture does it say we cannot worship angels? Well, go with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. And when it comes to the angel worship, that's something that was going on heavily in Asia Minor, right? And this angel worship was coming from all type of pagan beliefs. So again, you had pagan beliefs going on. You had Judaism going on. You had Gnosticism going on. You had just so many things going on right here in this congregation in Asia Minor. And Brother Obed, read verse number 8. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 8.
Well, I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things.
Continue reading.
Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God."
There it is. Right? We ought to worship God, not angels. And the reason why, again, the reason why I bring this up is that people nowadays not necessarily worship angels, but they worship men. Why? Because these men are claiming to be messengers of God. You know, we see it all the time, even in the Lord's church. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right? Those who are following those individuals that baptize them. Of you, you know, are you a Paul? I mean, were you baptized in the name of Paul, of Cephas, of Apollos, right? So we see, right, that when it comes to worship, the only person that needs to be worshiped and we should be worshiping is God. What did the devil do in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10? Right? He asked Christ to what? Worship him. And what did Christ's reply was? What's that? Worship God. Worship God. Because if we choose any person, thing, and start worshiping that, then that you are essentially trying to put that person on the same platform or the same level as God. That's what you do. And in the world today, there's a lot of things that people worship. Football, you know, different sports. You know, they say football is a religion. You know, that kind of thing. You know, so I mean, there's a lot of things that people tend to worship. Politics. You know, I mean, so we have to be careful as to what we do and how we conduct ourselves, right? Because if we give these things all our time, we tend to worship those things. Brother Obey, you have something you want to say? You seem like you're.
Well, I was thinking about how today a modern example of worshiping angels is this concept of a guardian that people claim that they have a guardian angel who watches over them. Well, that's falling into the realm of not worshiping angels, you know, like I've
said. Man, that's a good point. You must be a preacher. You try. All right. Do anybody else have any comments or anything? Okay, let's continue on with that verse, right? He goes on and says, intruding into those things which have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. What Paul is saying here is that these individuals, right, they're so enamored into the false doctrine that they're doing, and it reminds me of psychics. That's what it reminds me of. And what Paul is saying is that they're saying is to the people that they've seen things, and that these beings and God is speaking to them and things of that nature. It's the same thing that goes on today. I don't know how many times, you know, that either I'm talking to family members or I'm back home and somebody said, God told me to tell you this. What? Really? Really? So this is what was going on in here in Colossae, is that these people, these pagan beliefs, right, where they were going around and saying that they had this knowledge, this superior knowledge, and that they seen things, and they had these dreams, and these spiritual beings are talking to them. And Paul is saying they ain't seen nothing. And it's the same thing today with people, and I'm not trying to be funny, but you know, I've talked to people and had conversation with people that, you know, said that, you know, God spoke to them while they're out there fishing, or they saw something while they're out there, you know, fishing or something, you know. But again, what we're seeing here is that these people are trying to, what they're trying to do, they're trying to rob you of your reward by telling you these things. You know, again, we have psychics, we have all these type of mediums and things of that nature, card readers and all the stuff that goes on in the world today. And it's still, it was going on back then, and it's still going on today. And Paul tells us that these individuals have a fleshly mind, because it's not spiritual. It's not spiritual because they're lying. They're not seeing anything, right? And let's go on to verse number 19 so we can finish up this chapter. In verse number 19, it says, "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having a nourishment ministered and knitted together, increaseth with the increase of God." Those individuals that are practicing this stuff, right, that are doing these things, that are angel worshiping and have this false humility, and those who are seeing things and claiming that they're being possessed with spirits, right? Those who hold on to these things are being detached from the head. And who is the head? Christ. Christ. That's what was, that's when you allow somebody to do that to you, and you start to believe that, what is happening is that you are being detached from the head, right? You're being detached from the truth, because Christ is the truth. How do we know this? Let's go to John chapter 8. Brother Bay, read verse number 31 and 32.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Jesus is the truth. His words are truth. But when you are detached from the head, which is Jesus, then you no longer are attached to the truth. You're being exposed. You're being exposed. And if you, and we don't have time right now, but if you want to know the scripture that kind of talks about being joined together, or being woven together like a quilt, right, or a blanket, you can go to Ephesians chapter 4, right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16, right? Is that we are all knitted together. We're all knitted together. And Paul always gives the illustration. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about the body? Right? That we're all individual parts of the body, but there's only one head. Right? There's only one head. And if you detach that head from the body, what happens to the body? It dies. It dies. So we see that when you allow these false doctrines and these counterfeit religions and beliefs infiltrate the church, you are detaching yourself from the head. And if you ever have a conversation with the elders, they would tell you that they have stopped a lot of false doctrine from coming in this congregation. Right? A lot of false doctrine. And what I'm getting at is that these are brethren that are part of the Lord's church, y'all, that's trying to bring this false doctrine in. And what is this false doctrine going to lead to? Us being detached from the head. So we see that Paul is telling them that believe in angel worshiping and this false humility, by doing so that you are going to be detached from the head. Let's continue to read in verse number 20. "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ," "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as thou live in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?" Paul is saying here, and this was what Brother Moreno was saying when he gave his invitation, right? He was telling us that we are dead to the world. How are we dead to the world? Through baptism. We're dead to the world. We rise in a new person and walk in the newness of life. But Paul is saying here is that, hey, if you've been baptized into Christ, right, and Christ has nailed those ordinances to the cross, why are you even involved with them? Why are you even involved with them? You shouldn't be involved with these things, because Christ has done all the work for us. And he goes on in verse number 21, touch not, taste not, and handle not. What do you think Paul is saying there? Okay, don't listen to false doctrine. Okay. Brother Phil, what do you think he's talking about there, Brother Phil? In verse number 21. Taste not, touch not, taste not, and handle not. He's getting an illustration of what? I can hear you. Census? Oh, no, not census. Every week she come up with something. That's what I'm talking about, sister. The Jewish law, right? These laws they came up with, right? Remember, you know, you have the law of Moses, but they had some additional laws, right? That they bound on people, right? And we a good example of this, you ever read Matthew chapter 15, right? It talks about these things that they were doing in the tradition of the elders and things of that nature, right? Wash your hands, ceremonial wash your hands, and things of that nature. Additional things that they were being bound on them and told to do. And Paul is saying here, hey, he give an example. Hey, if you've been dead to these things, right? If you've been baptized into Christ, you don't have to worry about that. Don't worry about this taste not, touch not, and handle not. You know, we have the doctrine of Christ. In verse number 22, it says, which all are to perish with using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Do you see that? All of it comes from where? Men. All of these things. And he said it's dead. So we should not be about, we should not allow it to become part of what we do as Christians. And you may say, well, that's Old Testament, that this was when Paul's day. It still goes on in the Lord's church here too. You'd be surprised what gets bound on Christians in the Lord's church. A lot of foolishness is going on in the Lord's church. So we have to always be careful and understand when it comes to our worship to God, what is true worship, what is acceptable worship to God. Because we got brethren out there that is changing things up. Choirs and you got brothers out there using their mouth as instruments like beatboxing, you know, while they're singing, things of that nature. You got a lot of things going on out there. So we have to be careful. We have to stay attached to the head. Have to stay attached to the head. And in verse number 23, it says, which things have indeed a showing of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Will worship. Can anybody tell me what will worship is? Will worship. Go ahead. That's right, right? Self-will worship, right? Mankind bringing in things, right? To worship how they want to. When we read the Bible in the New Testament, in my studies anyway, there's four types of worship that I can find. We have will worship that we just talked about, right? We have vain worship, which you can find in Matthew chapter 15. Empty worship, worthless. Then in Acts chapter 17, you have ignorant worship. But the worship that we all should be focused on is found in John chapter 4. Let's turn there real quick. John chapter 4. This is what we all should be focused on, because this is what God desires. This is what he seeks. John chapter 4. And Brother Obed, read verse number 21 through 24.
Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know that we worship what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
The worship that we should be partaking in. The worship when we come here every Lord's Day is true worship. That is the worship that we should be focused on. Not vain worship comes from men. Ignorant worship comes from men. Will worship comes from men. But God seeks true worshipers. And he tells us what? In spirit and in truth. Where do we get the truth from? The Bible. So we have to understand when it comes to worship, right? We cannot let anybody rob us or defraud us or steal our reward from us. This is what Paul is talking about. Yes, you know, you had angel worship and you had false humility and things of that nature going on back then. But we have our own problems going on today. And it still applies. We have a lot of brethren. Like I said, we have a lot of brethren that are adding things. I mean, some crazy stuff that's going on out there. So we always make sure that we have true worship. And that if we have true worship, we're attached to the head. And if we're attached to the head, then we're dead to all of those things that God has put away. Do anybody have any questions or comments? Brother, go ahead.
I think an excellent example from Scripture that the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, from receiving the gospel, calls them deceitful and evil. So I think that's a...
Appreciate that, brother. Great comment. Anybody else? Go ahead, brother. Knowledge. Seek the own righteousness. There it is. That's a good verse. Thank you, brother. Excellent verse. Great comment. Anybody else have a comment or anything that they want to add? Thanks, everybody, for participating. Let's close out in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to come to you, Lord, and ever grateful, Lord, that we can break open thy word, Lord, and to study from it, Lord, and to gain knowledge and application to our lives. Lord, it's at this time, Lord, that we stand strong on thy word. We ask and pray that we take in and study, Lord, and to meditate on thy word, Lord, so we don't allow anybody to defraud us or to rob us of our reward. We ask and pray, Lord, that we show true humility, Lord, when it comes to each other and especially towards thee. Continue to watch over us, Lord, and we ask and pray, Lord, that we stay attached to the head, Lord, that we continue to follow his authority and his guidance, Lord, through thy word. We ask and pray, Lord, that we continue to be with us, Lord, and that our worship would indeed be true. Continue to bless those, Lord, that of this body, Lord. We ask and pray, Lord, we have so many that are going through difficult times, Lord. Some that have experienced death in their family, some through sickness, Lord, and some are just going through trying times of faith, Lord. And we ask and pray that they lean on you during this time. Continue to watch over us and forgive us when we fail thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.